Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good Monday afternoon. On his feast day of St. John Theracist, or St. John the Harvester, he died in 1129. He was an Italian Benedictine monk from the Calabria area. On today's show, we're going to meet the man of the year. We're going to meet our new OSU correspondent, Dan Timmons from the Marriage and Family Life Office, will tell us about the programs they have for married and engaged couples. Kevin Lowry is going to talk to a very special choir director. But first up, some tax news, but it's good news, I promise. Ohio Dominican University offers the only fully bilingual tax return preparation service in Central Ohio. Accounting students at ODU will provide free income tax return preparation assistance for qualified individuals through the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, or VITA, program. The VITA program is offered at ODU's main campus, 1216 Sunbury Road in Erskine Hall. The program runs each Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. and each Wednesday from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. during tax season. Trumpet correspondent Carrie Migalski spoke with Bob Osborne, an assistant accounting professor and VITA program advisor, to get more information on this program that is so beneficial to the ODU students and to the community.
Can you tell us a little bit about the VITA program?
Well, the VITA program, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, is a partnership with the Internal Revenue Service, and it allows us to provide free tax service to low to moderate income individuals. And the Internal Revenue Service considers for this program generally $51,000 and below as the qualifying mark for it. We prepare the taxes, our students do, and we file those taxes electronically through the software that the Internal Revenue Service provides us.
Well, this sounds like a great way for students to also share their time and talents with the community and help build good character. And is it true that even earn tax preparer certification through the IRS?
Well, all our students go through a process where they train with instructors here at Ohio Dominican, except for the Bishop Watterson students. What we do is we spend the first 5 weeks of the semester going through training, and then during that time period, our students actually test through the advanced level for the daytime students and basic for the Bishop Watterson High School students. And that testing is done through the Internal Revenue Service, and the IRS provides certification for these individuals, these students, to prepare taxes under the VITA program.
So it seems like it's also beneficial for the student body and the community. Have you expanded the program in any way?
2 years ago, this will be the third year, but 2 years ago we expanded the program to include students from Bishop Watterson High School. And then last year we had the daytime students here at ODU, the Bishop Watterson High School students, and then we expanded into the Spanish department, and with the aid and assistance of our Spanish department, Dr. Bruce Gartner and his folks, we actually offered a bilingual service. One of the things we did find last year was there was a need for a bilingual service, and we were very happy that we could provide that service.
Well, it does seem like a great service that Ohio Dominican University is offering to the community and also gives the students the opportunity to live ODU's mission. How can somebody find out more about this program?
Well, the program itself, you can go on to the Ohio Dominican University website, and we have an article that talks about the program. And our website is www.ohiodominican.edu. They can also call Hands-On Central Ohio here in Franklin County, that is simply a three-digit number, 211, and ask to speak to a VITA representative or a VITA scheduler, and they can tell them a little bit about the program. The IRS has information on their website at www.irs.gov, so there's a lot of publicity.
And the program runs each Saturday through tax season. Can you give us some information on the times and the location?
We will be located in Erskine Hall, which is located here on main campus at Ohio Dominican, and we're located at 1216 Sunbury Road, and again, we're in Erskine Hall. We'll be in room 202. We run from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Saturdays, and we close our VITA site on April the 12th. But we're also open on Wednesdays from 3:30 to 6:30, and that starts on February the 26th.
Okay, well, Bob, thank you so much for all your work that you're doing with Ohio Dominicans Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. We really appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show today.
For additional information on the VITA program, please contact Bob Osborne at 614-251-4261 or search Ohio Dominican University VITA program online. The Marriage and Family Life Office exists to draw married couples, families, and all persons of the Diocese of Columbus into a deeper union with Jesus Christ and with one another through a fourfold approach of prayer, education, outreach, and advocacy. The office supports and encourages the vocation of Christian marriage and family life as a communion of persons, a sign and image of the communion of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. This year, the diocese is offering a new marriage preparation program, which emphasizes the spiritual and sacramental components of marriage. Correspondent Carrie Migalski talks with the director of the Marriage and Family Life Office, Dan Timmons, as he explains why these programs are so important for couples to help build a firm foundation for a solid marriage.
So how do some of the programs that the Marriage and Family Life at the diocese level offer for a solid marriage?
Right. I like to compare preparing for marriage as building a house. And the most important part of a house is the foundation. Without that solid foundation, it's going to be difficult for a marriage to withstand the storms of life, the changes of the seasons. So that's what we do. We actually have a two-day program for engaged couples. The first day is really about laying that foundation. What is marriage? What is it that they long for? What is it that's going to bring joy and peace and happiness to their life? Ultimately, it's love. We all long for authentic love, the love of God. And marriage is that, a sacrament, a vocation where we share the love of God with one another. We take them through Genesis, God's original plan for marriage in the beginning. Christ restoring God's plan for marriage, how he elevates marriage to a sacrament, and ultimately how marriage is that call to help each other to grow in holiness so that we can one day share and that eternal wedding banquet with Christ in heaven. After going through the Bible, we give a good introduction on what they're really saying in the vows, what they're really promising, that marriage is a faithful union for life, and that it's open to the procreation and education of children. Then in the afternoon, after lunch, we bring them back. We share God's vision for sexuality within marriage. We share it in a very truthful and a very loving and a very inviting way. And the couples come away from that really challenged and really compelled. And many of them have said in confidential surveys that they're really, truly considering embracing God's plan for marriage.
Dan, can you tell us some statistics on how these marriage preparation programs are working?
Yeah. So far this year, we've had 100 couples, about 100 couples go through the program. 88% said they now have a better understanding of the church teaching on marriage, and over 80% said the program had a positive effect on their relationship with God. This is significant because with these confidential surveys, we see 2/3 of them are already living together, and about 90% are sexually active coming to the program. But following the day, we have 72% of those sexually active saying that they will at least consider abstaining until marriage, and nearly 80% leave the day at least considering practicing natural family planning in their marriage. So if this holds, this is a seismic shift in the way couples are living their married life.
So as a couple is going through married life and they may find that they need more assistance and more support, do you offer any marriage retreats?
Yeah, our office offers an annual retreat for married couples. Last year, we had Bishop Campbell and Father Leo Patelinghug in the fall. This year, we're hoping to have some other guest speakers and have Bishop with us again. But we also support other programs around the diocese, such as Marriage Encounter, a wonderful way for couples to rekindle that communication with one another. And then also there's a program called RetroVi, which is for couples struggling in their marriage, hurting through different reasons. That program has done amazing, wonderful work at reconciling couples together. We have regularly scheduled natural family planning programs for classes spread about a month apart. We have programs coming up in March, three different programs, and then also follow-ups in May.
And so where can someone find more information on all these great programs that the diocese is offering?
Well, you can visit the diocese website, which is www.colsdioc.org. www.thecommunityfor.org, or you can call us up at 614-241-2560.
Thank you so much, Dan.
You can find more information about the programs offered by the Marriage and Family Life Office by visiting the Columbus Diocese website at colsdioc.org or call 241-2560. Dan Timmons and Father David Sizemore recorded a series entitled The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage for St. Gabriel Radio. You can find those episodes on our archives at stgabrielradio.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Kevin Lowry has had some great conversations in the past few weeks. Today, he talks to a choir director at Holy Family Church who has a calling to direct a choir of homeless.
This is Kevin Lowry with St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Today, I'm here talking to Sean Kenny at Holy Family Church in downtown Columbus. Now, Sean, we're both Holy Family members, and Holy Family's known for a lot of different things. You know, we've got the soup kitchen, we've got the Jubilee Museum. We do a lot of outreach types of activities, but you're involved in something very special here. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I started here a couple years ago, I very quickly found that we had lots of different groups and organizations and museums and soup kitchens and this group and that group. So I immediately, you know, jumped in. What can I do, and how can I get involved here with the staff, you know, with the people we work with? I actually stopped over the soup kitchen one day, and there's people everywhere. What kind of got me started on the homeless choir, which we'll talk, I'm sure, a little bit more about, there was a gentleman singing there. He sang the Lord's Prayer, and I walked in, and I go, wow, who is singing? And this guy, I mean, he could have, you know, tried out for American Idol, and we would have passed him on, and he may have got down to the top, you know, 50 or whatever. Uh-huh. Just a wonderful voice. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, and just even with my English and Latin choir, I'm sitting in the organ loft thinking, you know, who's downstairs that I could get up and involved with music? And in my life, obviously, I'm a music teacher and a choir director and organist. I love music. Music touches everybody in, you know, one way or another, either like rock and roll or, you know, religious music or classical or, you know, whatever you like. But it's a kind of a universal way of getting a hold of people. So I immediately, I went to Father Lesson. I said, what about starting a homeless choir here, getting some people involved, getting them to Mass, find out these people's backgrounds, because it's amazing how many Catholics we have, you know, sure, on the streets now. And
so this one guy, his singing that one day inspired you to create the homeless choir.
Yep, absolutely. And actually, that guy, he was gone for years. I went back. I couldn't find him. And actually, not too long ago, he showed back up here again. I'm trying to get him to come and sing in our group. He's kind of all over the place, you know, pantry to pantry and shelter to shelter. But that's the hardest part about the group in general, is just keeping everybody nailed down. We'll have a member for 2 months, and then they'll, you know, move to Florida, or they'll, you know, hitchhike and go wherever they go.
With the weather as it is, it has been lately, who can blame them for moving to Florida?
Absolutely.
But, you know, this is very interesting to me. So essentially, when you started the homeless choir, you're going to have a little bit of a transient population, but these individuals enjoy singing. Now, I've got to tell you, I can't sing to save my life, so I really appreciate people who can. You know, what is it that motivates them, that inspires them to be part of this choir?
Well, I think a lot of it, and some of them, they just want to get warm. You know, some of them can't sing, and that's okay. The only requirement I have in the group is that you try. Uh-huh. You know, and everybody can sing, even you, Kevin. I'm sure you can sing. You know, it's just, you know, whether or not you know, that's what your focus is in life. But, you know, getting these guys in here to the rehearsals and teaching them, you know, and, you know, I have a pot of coffee for them. Sometimes a couple of these guys just come for coffee.
Sure.
They sit around, we talk about music, we sing, and it's just, it's my motivation is to get them in and, you know, learn about their lives and see what we can do to help them. I'm not a, you know, I'm not our Sharon Wing over in our soup kitchen where I'm, you know, all about outreach and, you know, this, you know, we need to put this person here or there or there or get this kind of help. But, even as a music director, I can say, you know, well, maybe you need to talk to this person or this person. Let's figure out what we can do to help you. And it's amazing how many people we have helped and got back on their feet. And it's,
okay, so that's an interesting point too. Now let's talk about some of the stories that you've heard and that you've seen through this experience of directing choir over the past couple of years.
One of my biggest success stories, and I like to talk about it, and actually I've had a couple different interviews, and it's been in our newsletter. A lot of people have probably seen it, and he doesn't mind me mentioning his name. It's Marty Mazur, and he actually owned a construction business and came under hard times, and actually his truck with all his tools were stolen. Mm-hmm. And he just down in hard times and was homeless, living at the Friends of the Homeless shelter. And he came to our door one day, was here at our soup kitchen. So I go over and I introduce myself to him, and we started talking, and he mentioned he was Catholic. You know, I went to OLPH in Grove City, and I said, "Oh, really?" So I started asking him the questions like I do to everybody. Well, say the Hail Mary, or say the Our Father.
Sure.
And he did. He knew the prayers and had them remembered. And I said to him, "Why don't you come and sing one Sunday? You know, just with the English choir, come up and sing. And, you know, that way when you come back to Mass for your first time after who knows how many years, you can kind of, you know, be up in the choir loft. You won't be kind of embarrassed to get back into it." And he showed up. And I was taking him back and forth to Friends of the Homeless for a while. And introduced him to Father Lutz. He went to confession and got back into the church.
Wow.
And he's actually got a very good voice. He likes rock and roll and guitar mostly, but sure. He loves the Latin Mass and Latin music. And it's really funny. And at this point now, he's working a full-time job and got a car back. And he's got a cell phone and his own place. And
fantastic.
It's just it's an amazing thing. And that's my goal, you know, get people sure. back into the church, make them love music. And it's funny, he was singing the homeless choir, still does, Latin and English choirs when he can get here. So.
Really?
It's kind of
just loves it.
Just loves music. Loves music. And they're not all like that, you know. Most of them, you know, I'd say probably 10% of them are Catholic.
Sure.
But they all say God bless you or thank you or right. after you give them something. So whether they're Christian or Jewish, you know, atheist, whatever, they're always welcome. And
right. Well, but this is a beautiful example of how the church really is open to you know, people joining us and being part of our community.
Absolutely.
In so many ways. And they're not, you know, it's not like we twist anybody's arm that they have to be Catholic before they join
right.
the choir.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the Catholic Church can be, at first, kind of intimidating, you know,
sure.
statues and everybody's kneeling and standing. It's like, oh, I don't understand it. And, you know, but, you know. By them sitting in the choir loft, kind of, you know, oh, I kind of understand this now, and you can explain stuff to them kind of as the Mass is going on, and it's amazing how many people, you know, ask questions, and they want to know, well, why do you have statues, and why do you guys pray, and why do you have a rosary? It's
sure.
funny, the sisters of the soup kitchen are always handing out rosaries.
Right.
And you'll see them wearing them around their necks, around their wrists, and it's, you know, I know it's not appropriate for them to do that, it's not a necklace, but at the same time, they have this
right.
with them, this blessed object, and they ask questions about it.
Well, as a convert who came into the church largely as a result of the rosary, I can completely understand why that's such a powerful thing. So Sean, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. This is a tremendous example of using your gifts and talents to really attract people to the church. So thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you very much.
This is Kevin Lowry for St. Gabriel's Trumpet.
Sue, what's happening in the diocese our listeners need to know about?
There's always something great going on in the Columbus Diocese, Chip. First of all, Dr. Marie Hilliard, Director of Bioethics and Public Policy at the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia, will be the featured speaker at the Diocesan Respect Life Conference, Saturday, March 15th, at the Columbus Immaculate Conception Church. The conference runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., following the Mass at 9 a.m. Registration is $20, which includes lunch. For more information, call the Office of Social Concerns at 614-241-2540. Gahanna St. Matthews invites all women of the diocese to the annual women's retreat, Friday to Sunday, March 28th to 30th, at the St. Teresa's Retreat Center. The retreat leaders are Father Ted Sill and Jenna Zins, and the retreat theme is, "If you are what you should be, you will set the world on fire." Cost of the weekend is $120. To register or for more information, call Karen at 614-855-3543. And if you haven't been to a retreat at the St. Teresa Center, you'd really enjoy it. It's a beautiful facility. The Catholic Men's Luncheon Club will meet following the 11:45 a.m. Mass at St. Patrick's Church, 280 North Grant Avenue, on March 7th. The speaker will be Shane Switzer, sharing photos and stories of his pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela, Spain. Participants are asked to donate $10 to cover the cost of the lunch. For more information, visit www.columbuscatholicmen.com. And you can go to that same website to sign up for the Catholic Men's Conference coming up this weekend. And I'll tell you, I'm sure it's going to be just as inspiring as the Catholic Women's Conference was this past weekend. I really loved it. Back to you, Chip.
The Most Reverend Frederick Campbell, Bishop of Columbus, presented the 2014 Columbus Diocese Catholic Man of the Year Award to a packed house at the First Friday Men's Luncheon at St. Patrick's Parish in downtown Columbus on Friday, February 7th. Mike Stickle received the award. Mike is from the Church of the Blessed Sacrament Parish in Newark, Ohio. He was nominated by friends, family, and parish members, all citing his tremendous spirituality, generosity, and service to his fellow man. His example of heroic virtue stands out throughout the incorporation of his Catholic faith in his home, in the parish, and in our community. Mike Stickle is a lifelong Catholic and, with his wife Sharon, is the father to three children. He actively supports Blessed Sacrament Parish in Newark many ways, including sponsoring RCIA candidates, extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, participating in the Holy Name Society, maintenance committee, liturgy committee, That Man Is You, and more. He supports the Children of Mary religious community, helping to build their chapel and retreat center, and continuing with ongoing maintenance tasks. He actively evangelizes the world, including guests in his home, and in subtle ways, such as leaving the radio tuned to AM 820 or a Lighthouse CD in the player of borrowed vehicles for the benefit of the next person who turns the key. Here's what his son-in-law, Brian Palmer, had to say about what type of man Mike Stickle is.
Mike's love for Christ can be seen in every aspect of his life. At his home, he and his wife raised three children who all practice giving to their families, church, and community. Now I am fortunate to have his influence on my son, Ellis, Mike's first grandchild.
Congratulations to Mike Stickle from Newark for receiving the Diocese of Columbus Man of the Year Award. Mike is truly a St. Joseph example in our midst, a person who quietly goes about sharing the love of Christ with all that he meets. May we follow Mike's example and commit ourselves to sharing the love and mercy of God with all those we meet today. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly on AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio. College campuses are battlegrounds for the minds and souls of our young people, and many are leaving the church. Only 14% of Catholics in college attend weekly Mass. Students are hungry for truth and meaning, but most are not being reached effectively. St. Paul's Outreach reaches those students around the country, bringing them back to Christ and the fullness of the Catholic faith. SPO on the OSU campus has been continually answering the call for a new evangelization. They have a vibrant and active community that reaches out to the student body and help equip OSU students to live out the call to holiness in their daily lives. St. Gabriel's Trumpet would like to introduce Dominic Demetay, our OSU campus correspondent. Dominic is with SPO and will be bringing us stories of how the faith is being lived on campus at Ohio State University each month. Let's listen as correspondent Carrie Migalski talks with Dominic about his faith and some background of SPO on OSU's campus.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and some background with SPO and the things that are going on campus.
Thanks, Carrie. We started St. Paul's Outreach back in 2004. I've been involved with SPO both as a student and then also as a staff member. I got involved in 2004 because I needed a place to grow in my faith, and I found a group of students who were living out their faith. I was really attracted by the way that they lived and how they really put Christ at the forefront of their life. And that's what I desired to do for my life and my faith. And so it ended up a long story of becoming a missionary with St. Paul's Outreach and serving up in Minnesota and then coming back to Ohio to serve with SPO out here at Ohio State University, and I've seen so many people's lives being impacted and changed for the good of the kingdom of God, and I really would not have wanted to spend the last 10 years any other way.
How many campuses around the country is SPO on?
We're on about 30 campuses around the country. We are located in 7 different states, and in those states, we have chapters. For the Ohio Mission Center, we have 3 chapters. We have a chapter at Ohio State, a chapter at Ohio Dominican. We have a chapter at West Virginia University.
So what kind of opportunities are there for students to get involved with SPL?
Well, it ranges from low involvement to high involvement. We follow a model strategy called Reach, Call, Form, Send. And in that model, we are striving to engage the students more where they're at rather than bombard them right away. And so in the reach stage of this paradigm is meeting a student on campus. They may or may not be into their faith. And then as we get to know a person, we'll call them on into a faith experience. And we, on Thursday nights, is our St. Paul's Outreach night on campus. And we run One Gospels, and we've had such great success with that over the last years. Currently, we're pulling in about 200 students to these One Gospels. And it's a powerful proclamation of the gospel. We might have a priest from the diocese come and join us to preach. We might have an alumni from St. Paul's Outreach or someone from our community, diocesan community. As we start to meet the students, we also have households, which become kind of a center of evangelization for us. Our students that are living in the households are certainly encouraged to invite other students into their life.
To have that network, that support is very encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of parents are concerned when they're sending their kids off to college at a big university. And what we're striving to do in St. Paul's Outreach is to bring a smaller community where a student can feel at home with people that love and care for them, and to allow the faith to be lived out in such a way that the parents can feel actually really good and comfortable sending their kid to a school that is not a Catholic school, is not a Christian school, but there's a community that is there supportive, and that their son or daughter can grow in their faith.
So how can somebody get more information about SPO?
You can visit our website, www.spoweb.org. Also, we're having an event on April 26th, Saturday, April 26th, with Mass at Ohio Dominican. Father Thomas Blau is going to be the one presiding. We'd love to have you join us.
Thanks, Carrie. And Dominic, welcome to the St. Gabriel Trumpet team. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with a brand new episode. If you have a story idea or event or something really crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.